Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another fine podcast of the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. I'm Dave, along with my co-hosts, my cohorts,
my so-called co-conspirators.
Co-dependents.
Sorry, yes. I cut you off. So-called friends.
So-called friends, yes.
Wow.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Merry Christmas.
They're wonderful, wonderful folks. All right, so, of course, Fred and Jason.
Hello, yep. Dave.
Hello. Oh,
hello, Dave. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Fred.
Oh, hello, Jason.
And this Hello, Fred. And Merry Christmas to all of you.
Yeah, depending on when you're listening to this.
Yeah.
If it's sometime in April, happy Easter.
Yeah. But
this is really a Christmas episode.
It is. Yes, it is because of the stuff we're going to drink.
That's right.
As I like to say.
What a perfect segue,
the
Fred.
Quaff.
The quaff. The quaff.
We're going to quaff some beverages.
Yeah, well, that's what we said the last time, that we should have some seasonal drinks.
Yeah.
And we debated and talked about it. And
here we are.
And here we are.
Yes, excellent.
And so I had mentioned an eggnog. I've never made an... You said, Fred, that you made eggnog as a child.
Oh, sure. No, randomly. My parents were asleep. And apparently, even though a blender wouldn't wake them up. So I was throwing it, but I didn't know it was in an eggnog, so it took me a lot of practicing. Don't put baking soda in eggnog.
I love that song. Roger Miller.
Roger Miller. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How does that go?
Don't put eggnog in your blender.
Yeah, no, it gets all frothy.
And yeah, how about eggnog for you? Are you a big eggnog fan?
To be perfectly honest, I've never been a big eggnog fan. I'm not a big fan of the egg, period.
Mm-hmm. How about nogs?
Nogs, I could be sold on.
Okay.
Although, so I'll try to... I'll just focus on the nog.
That's great on the nog.
Yeah. No, I love an eggnog. I can't get enough of it, and so I stay away from it because I would just drink it continuously.
Yeah, no, it's a heck of a good thing. I've had it hot. Have you had a hot nog?
I haven't had a hot nog.
I used to zap it in the microwave.
Does it turn into scrambled eggs when you do that?
Well, it's a store-bought nog, so I don't know how much egg was actually in it.
Yeah.
And Dave's not a big fan of eggs.
No, not a big fan.
What is it that puts you off about the egg? I've always wanted to ask you while recording it so that I can
put me on
back.
The spot. I just don't like the texture of it. I don't like the taste. Unless it's unless it's French toast, then I'm okay.
Oh, because
you don't really taste it.
Right.
But eggs, no. I don't know. It's more the texture.
So no matter what, like a scrambled egg or a fried egg or an omelet.
No.
What about if you had like fried rice and there was little bits of egg in it?
Well, I could probably tolerate it.
What about a frittata?
Yeah.
Maybe if we were interested in doing food, we'd pursue this further.
We would.
But we're not.
So we won't?
We just want a drink. I'm speaking for myself, of course.
Of course.
But just to speaking on seasonal food, and Fred, you're of Icelandic. You got some Icelandic heritage, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever, now, this is, I guess, more traditional Scandinavian, not so much Iceland, but have you guys ever heard of lutefisk?
Lutefisk,
yeah.
I think it's pronounced lutefisk.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... It's. I only bring it up because you were talking about Christmas food, and I remember someone I knew who was of Norwegian descent, and they put together this fish that is basically fish and then powdered in lye, which is best known as a deadly poison, but somehow it
sounds like something the Norwegians would
have. Yeah. And somehow they live.
Yeah.
To tell.
Right, so, sure. And it's toughened them up.
Yeah. There's, no wonder they're Vikings.
We're the only ones I know, the Vina Tarta and the Rullapelsa, the two Icelandic dishes that I've come across. Not, I don't count blood sausage because everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody
the
likes
the British.
Everybody likes blood sausage.
Sure. So this is your dad's side?
Yeah.
Partridge, you're claiming is an Icelandic name?
Well, his mother.
Oh, okay.
Mrs. Edward Partridge.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah, sure, Mrs. Ooms.
Yeah, no,
she
no.
She was an Ooms.
No, the other side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, so she, my grandmother was from Iceland, and so I'm a quarter Icelandic. I'm half Estonian and a quarter English. If you're a quarter English, you're probably partly Icelandic.
That's
already.
Right.
Viking. I've actually just read that 25% of Icelanders have Irish DNA in them.
Oh, wow.
All thanks to the Viking taking slaves.
Right. Yeah. Picking up the odd, straggler.
Straggler from...
Wow.
Anyways.
Well, Iceland doesn't have a big population, so when your grandma moved out, that must have lowered the population.
It was a big... made the papers. There's only 300,000 people in Iceland.
Yeah.
Which is not very big.
No.
Anyways, I'm sorry, I would use a word like you, I digress.
Oh, you do.
But let's get back to the...
Let's get back to this.
The nog.
I made a lutefisk eggnog.
Yum, nice.
It has a thick sardine base.
Oh,
little
my
sardines
favorite.
At the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Did I mention how much I love fish, too?
That's right, you're not a fish fan.
Yeah.
So a fish omelet fish would be the worst.
No, worst thing for me. Anyway, so tell us about your...
So what are we starting with? This is the nog?
This is the 30-day eggnog.
When did you start making this?
30 days ago.
I don't believe you.
Somewhat less than 30 days ago.
25 days ago.
Sure. But I found it on Michael Ruhlman's website, which is ruhlman.com.
Oh.
And it just sounded so interesting to me that you would put this all together. I'll tell you what's in it. The recipe, of course, will be on our website, gentlemanofelegantleisure.com is what you'll be after. And it makes about 3 quarts. So you're looking at 12 yolks.
Great. I can make some meringue.
No, you need... Well, you're going to hang on to the whites for your meringue?
Sure.
12 yolks, 2 cups of sugar, 1 liter of bourbon, 4 cups of whole milk.
Yeah.
1 cup of heavy cream, 3/4 cup of cognac or brandy. Mm-hmm. We went for brandy. 1/2 cup of a Meyer's dark rum.
Oh.
And a pinch of kosher salt.
Oh, you had me dark rum.
Yeah. So you combine the yolks and the sugar in a big bowl, whisk it until it's blended and creamy, and then you add all the other stuff. And you let it sit in the refrigerator for 30 days.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. And it says that the big booze amount in it kills off any of the nastiness
that
you'd be concerned about. And so
I'm not concerned, but...
I knew you wouldn't be concerned. You're the least concerned of anybody. You don't refrigerate chicken.
No.
Or heat it up.
Leave my sausage on the counter.
Yep.
And so, so this is the 30-day eggnog. And I'm looking forward to popping it open on Christmas morn.
Oh. I'd like to make some for Christmas morn, but I don't have 30 days, so I'm pretty much hooped.
Well, I don't think it has to be the 30 days.
Oh, just as long as you can stand not drinking it.
That's right. He just likes the idea because it gives it a little bit of funk, I believe is what he said. In fact, he said in taste tests, he was free in admitting this, in taste tests, people prefer the fresh eggnog to the 30-day eggnog.
Interesting.
But I just like the idea of...
Sure.
Plus, you get it done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not mixing up a drink. There's nothing to be shaken today.
No.
I'm just going to dump this in a glass.
Yeah.
And you can do it, too, if you have 30 days.
Yeah.
And so we'll just...
It looks like... sort of pours like a heavy cream.
Is that enough for you, David?
That'll be plenty. Okay. I'll just grab my hand in the shot there.
Put your hand in the shot?
Yeah. But you and Fred, you guys go nuts.
Oh, you have no idea.
Yeah.
And I even brought fresh nutmeg
lie. I'm going to start calling you nutmeg because you always somehow try and work in the nutmeg.
I do.
But yeah, I can see how it would definitely be something.
There we go.
There you go, Dave. A little nutmeg for you.
No, thank you very much, Fred.
And for you, Fred... Excellent. Well, our first holiday show.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to disclude anybody that is not celebrating Christmas. Happy Hanukkah and happy everything for everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's others that we're missing. But, you know, you guys know what we mean.
Exactly. We hope the best for you at the end of the year. This winter solstice festival, however you may celebrate it.
Hmm.
So
at this point, mainly nutmeg on the nose.
Mainly nutmeg, and then
for all the obvious reasons.
We should probably find that with 1 liter of bourbon in it, there should be mostly bourbon in the on the palate.
Nice.
So here we go.
I'm a little behind because
that's all right. I'm documenting.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's very much like a nog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it would be thicker, but I don't know why I thought that.
Yep.
I just put stuff in there. There's no reason for it to be. I mean, it's plenty thick.
Yeah.
It's not thick like Safeway's.
No, actually, I do like that. Because I think the booze kills any egg taste to it.
That's right. Yeah. We could get an omelet for you that's
filled with bourbon. Yeah, there you go. Now I love eggs. There you go.
That's right. Cuckoo for eggs.
Mm.
No, the Meyer's rum, though, I think gives it a bit of a caramel
taste
to it.
Yes, and I to get a liter of bourbon, I had to buy a big bottle of Jim Beam. That was the only one that was in the liter plus size.
Sure.
And so I think I did just fine.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's, yeah.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Pleasant surprises.
No.
No unpleasant surprises if we can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Except for that pickle juice one.
And that ain't going to work no matter no how.
It's coming back, I tell you. Next summer.
All pickles all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, what better way to celebrate finally being on iTunes?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Mention that. We are now on iTunes.
Mm-hmm. People could have listened to the previous episodes all on iTunes, not realizing that it's only now that we're actually figured out how to get on iTunes.
Yeah. So,
Apple leads you
so
to
no surprise for you who've just downloaded this off of iTunes.
Yeah, it was a bit of work, wasn't it?
It was a bit of a journey.
Apple would make you think that it's just you just snap your fingers. And
no,
you're
we had
on.
To get it all typed up.
Yeah,
had to drive it down to Apple.
Mm-hmm. Tim Cook had to review it and give a stamp of approval. But,
they had to put it into the iTunes machine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Turn the crank.
And now it all works.
Now it all works. It's there. It's great. For everybody to enjoy that might not have found it before. And so if.
Anyway. Now, we don't have all the episodes up yet, as of this recording, but here...
But as of this recording being up, they're all up.
There you go.
On iTunes.
It'll be there, so you don't need to worry about it.
That's right.
It's like time travel.
It is.
We're calling from the past.
But please do go to our website, because that's where all the recipes are, and you'll see the occasional picture that isn't on our Instagram. Mm-hmm. So
that's right.
Some video.
Yes,
where
there
the video
is.
Video go.
Video is on Instagram.
On Instagram.
We could put it on the website, but we daren't.
No, we daren't. We dasn't.
But I have to say, I want to just talk about our Instagram account, which is Cocktail. Our number one most viewed video, in fact, it's probably our most viewed post of anything on Instagram, is Fred making the Papa Doble cocktail from Havana.
Wow.
In fact, Fred occupies the top three spots on our Instagram account in terms of popularity.
He needs to have a professional.
I know.
That's right.
And by professional, I mean...
He wants more money.
Yeah. He's like the Beatles in 1964.
Yeah.
Fred occupies the top three spots.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
And that is, if you want to check it out, folks, it's episode 13, I believe, is where the Papa Doble is.
Yes.
So check it out. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So here you go. Now that I've pumped up Fred's ego, we can move on to the next drink?
Gentleman. Just me.
Just you.
Yeah. Just you. Partridge in a pear tree.
Yep.
So that's the 30-day eggnog. I encourage people to try this. And they said that people have actually kept this in their fridge for a year.
Well, it'd be like avocat. You know, that, I can't remember, I think it's a Dutch liqueur. And it's an egg liqueur.
Yeah, it's either Dutch or it's Danish.
Yeah, it could be Danish.
Icelandic.
One of those European countries. Really should have looked that up before I brought it up. But, that'd be great. No, I like it. It does have a bit of a... Yeah, a nice deep flavor to it. Anyway, not like a store bought eggnog. So I think having it stored in there with the booze.
Yeah, no, I think if you had room in the fridge, why not do it? And then they said if you want to make a fancy version of it, and this would be fancy, is to use Oban Scotch.
Yeah, I think you lose. I mean, I think you've got to have something. Well, maybe I don't know. You lose a little bit of that with. I think the egg sort of runs. I mean, it's mainly booze, but I just worry about using a really premium stuff because the tastes are so subtle.
Well, I think something with the Oban, I should have printed up that part. I forget what it was. It might be smoky.
Oh, okay.
Might be a little smoky.
That would be kind of neat.
Yeah, it's supposed to play well with Egg yolks
and the nutmegs
and the nutmeg.
Although, yeah, I would go a little just don't go crazy on the nutmeg because nutmeg is so powerful.
Yeah, do you think I put too much on your glass?
No, because I love nutmeg.
Oh, okay.
We're just thinking of people that don't.
Oh, those people. Yeah, well, they're trouble.
Yeah, but just I think you're gonna be good.
All right, so that's it. So you could make this.
Yeah.
Especially in the United States, you use your Thanksgiving holiday
mm-hmm.
as your launch point for this,
right.
So that a month later you have this. Yeah. Or better yet, you use Halloween. No, use Columbus Day. And then you'll have something for Thanksgiving.
There you go.
And then you'll have it again for the.
So it's something special. You just mix it up together and then put it in the fridge.
That was it. Transfer the mixture to a 1 gallon jar
mm-hmm.
and tightly seal the lid. Place in the refrigerator for 30 days.
Where the hell did you get a 1 gallon jar?
Well, it turns out that a milk jug made of plastic
oh.
is a lot like a gallon jar.
Oh, clever.
And I figured it had milk in it.
Sure,
yeah, right.
So it's not going to do any harm.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it took up a lot of space in the fridge and still does to this very moment. But it's great. Now it's getting less because now I'm sharing it around.
Yeah.
First of all, with you, my gentleman of elegant leisure friends.
Mm. Thank you very much.
And then I forget where I stumbled upon this next drink. But this just seems so cool.
In a book?
I don't think I'd found it in a book.
No.
Because nobody reads books anymore. And I read books. Mm-hmm. And I didn't find it in a book.
So did you find it on that thing called the internet?
It might have been on the interweb.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. I think that's what the kids call it.
But I don't even remember how I stumbled across it. Sorry, guys. Anyway, the good point is I did.
You did it, yeah.
And at the end of Charles Dickens. Are you familiar with Charles Dickens?
Oh, yes.
Two K's, the famous Dutch author.
Not as familiar with
it. Tale of Two Titties. Charles Dickens, the famous Dutch author. A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Scrooge, when he comes around, he says to Cratchit, you know, I'm going to help you take care of your family and all of that sort of stuff. And he says, well, but talk about it over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop.
He does.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're having smoking bishop.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, what could be more Christmassy?
Are we going to have, you have to smoke?
No. Smoke just means that it's steaming.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all it means. It's not really smoking. Although it's a little bit, what's kind of fun is it's a little bit of a,
Yeah.
Right? To the church.
Oh.
They have a smoking pope,
mm-hmm.
smoking cardinal,
yep.
smoking bishop,
yep.
and a smoking something else.
Mm-hmm.
Priest?
Yep. Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, they were digs at the church, sure. which I think is a great thing for Christmas.
Yeah.
For those
yeah.
of you that think you got a bit too much Christ in your Christmas, a smoking bishop might be just up your alley. And this recipe comes from our friend David Wundrich.
Oh, David.
Yeah. He's not really our friend. I'm sorry, David, if you happen to be listening. I've never met you.
Yeah.
No.
But we love what you've done.
Sure, no. We think you're wonderful.
And he printed this in an Esquire magazine. And the drinks it says here were called Ecclesiastics, which you almost never see on a menu. In a
no, no. More in the Bible.
That's right. Ecclesiastics. There was a Pope, which was made with Tokay wine or champagne or burgundy. A Churchwarden, an inexpensive ginger wine diluted with tea. These are some of the things that are mentioned here. And they are sort of religious jokes and keeps you all part of the fun of Christmas. It says here in other Protestant countries like Germany, Denmark, and Sweden, you have drinking societies where the punch bowl is actually shaped like a bishop's mitre.
Mm.
You could get drunk and laugh at the church at the same time.
Oh,
that's the best combination.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly.
That saves you time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, smoking bishop is port based, and I've made it here for you, and I'll give you the recipe, which I have printed up here. One bottle of ruby port, a whole bottle of port, because this is to share with people, right?
It's a punch. Yeah.
It's more. It's a punch.
Yeah.
A cup of water, a medium orange, 20 cloves. 2 ounces of sugar.
Holy moly.
A pinch of ginger, ground nutmeg, and allspice, ground allspice. And a little bit of cognac or brandy is optional.
Yeah.
But not really.
Not for us.
Not for us. And so you wash the orange, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is a make-ahead one. So all you have to do is pour it out when you're ready or serve it up with a ladle from your big pot.
Right.
But you get an orange and you stud it with the cloves. Mm-hmm. You put 20 cloves in an orange and you bake it for like an hour and a half.
Really?
So it gets browned and the oils do wonderful things to the skin.
That's yummy.
Yeah.
Did you bring it?
It's already pre-mixed into the thing. It's ready to be poured.
Okay.
But Fred wanted to throw it. That's why.
And so so you got cloves hanging out of the orange.
Yep.
You bake it up for an hour and a half. Then you get the port.
Mm-hmm.
You heat it in a saucepan or a saucepan.
I'd use a saucepan.
Yeah, use a saucepan. Get you go down to the saucepan store. Get yourself a saucepan. Heat it till it's just simmering. Because you don't want to boil it, right? Mm. If you boil it, you'll boil off the booze.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's no fun.
Stir in the sugar and the spices. That thickens it up just that little bit.
Yeah.
And then...
What happens then?
I don't know what happens then. When?
Where's page three?
When it went away.
You should really number your pages.
I just had them in order. All right. Well, you stir it up.
You were there.
I was there. I made the thing. Then you juice the orange.
Oh.
Slice the peel up and you put the whole thing in there. So the whole thing is now simmering. So you've got the orange peels in there, the orange juice in there with the cloves, the spices. Simmer, simmer, simmer. Then you throw in your little bit of brandy.
Right.
And then you serve this up. Oh. And so I have made this. This is also the test of this thermal product.
Yeah.
Still warm?
It is still warm. Smoking, in fact. And so I'm going to strain it a little bit. I think if you were to serve it up punch style, you would probably want to have a little hunk of fruit in there. But I'm going to just strain it now because you do get all the spices and what have yous.
Okay, so you just leave it so you don't, when you're making it, you don't strain anything out.
No, because everything is going to simmer there together in the...
How long do you simmer it?
It didn't actually say. I just simmered it until I thought, well, now I'm thirsty.
I think that's a good a good rule. That's a good way to judge it.
How does that look? Does that look pretty good?
That looks pretty good. Oh, I can see the steam on the side of the glasses. So,
so it's smoking.
It's smoking.
I don't know if I could get here. Get a crummy hunk of orange out for everybody.
There you go.
With the cloves
in it. Yeah, look at that.
As I say, if you had a big punch bowl or like even a slow cooker kind of a thing,
you'd have some orange slices sort of floating in it or something.
Yes,
oh, look
exactly.
At that. Cool.
So. Mr. Coyne.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Partridge, here, take the deep one.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll talk about the future of the gentleman of elegant.
Oh, yes, well.
A Christmas bowl of smoking bishop.
Smoking bishop.
Cheers, sir.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
A merrier one than I've given you boys in the past.
Oh, that's very nice.
What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
That's worth the effort, isn't it?
I think it is worth the effort. And it's really not that much effort.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part is you got to cook an orange for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Not too many people have experience cooking oranges, so.
Yeah, you get the peel. You get the...
Yeah, but there's a little bitter element, right? From the oils from the the skin. From the peel, not the skin. There's no skin in this. It's skinless.
I got no skin in this game. No. Yeah, no, that's I think more festive.
Mm-hmm. So how much did you make up? It's just enough for that thermos, or did you, like, you get
I cut
more?
That, I for what we were going to do, I cut it
in half?
By a quarter.
Okay.
So instead of using a bottle of port, I used 3/4 of a cup.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was only 1/4 cup of water. I used only 1/4 of the orange. I still cooked the whole orange.
Yeah.
And so everything was pared down, but I tried it. This isn't my first time having it. I tried it the other night to make sure that it didn't taste like a nightmare.
Like
no. And the only thing that's different this time around, and Fred and I were just saying, because you ran away just for a second.
I did. I'm sorry.
Was that you can taste the a bit of bitterness from the peel, which I didn't get the very first time I had it, because I made it and then I drank it.
Yeah.
Whereas this I made because I was coming here. Mm. And so this has been able to steep a little bit.
Mm.
But I found another recipe... which was much more convoluted, which used Seville oranges, which are like a lemon, he was saying earlier.
A lemony.
Mm-hmm. And I think they add a more bitter element to it. And so this is, by letting it sit as long as I did, it's probably given us a truer...
Yeah.
I mean, it was nice when it was a little bit sweeter, too. But this gives it one other level there.
So slightly more bitter, like Scrooge.
Yes.
For more of like the old Scrooge, before he's converted to Christmas.
Yeah, it's got sort of a woody aftertaste, sort of a...
Yeah.
And I guess that's the cloves.
Could be. Could be the toothpicks I put in there as well. I spilled a lot of it on the floor. I had to pick it up.
Well, I like the, you know, you put your own special twist on everything. And that's that's what I like about you.
So I would try it again. I would try it in a slow cooker situation or in a pot that you could keep simmering.
Yeah.
And then I would try it right away. And I would do it with all of your friends and family around. Because I think there's something really nice about the idea sharing the bowl. I mean, this is what it was about. Mm-hmm. And that's what it said, I think, in Imbibe, right? Previous to the cocktails, you had your punches.
Right.
And you had people that didn't have jobs the way we do now. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't anything to go to a bar or a pub at 1 p.m. and stay there for 4 hours with all your friends slowly drinking a gigantic... Which were expensive, right? Mm-hmm. It was big money to buy a big bowl of punch.
Yeah.
And it still should be. I mean, you've made punch at Christmas, and you're using whole bottles of spirits.
Yeah.
If you were to then do the logical markup that a restaurant or pub would now do, they're $150 to make a...
Oh, yeah. No, it adds up. But, you know, it's... you do it once a year.
Mm-hmm. And that's what made it so special, I think.
Yeah.
And it also sort of... It was a real, it was event worthy, right?
Yeah.
Because you would now, sure, it's expensive, but as you say, it's once a year, and we're doing this, and we're all together, and you would drink it out of little cups.
Yes.
And that would also keep it warm, and then you could replenish it. But the little cups, they said, I think in David Wondrich's Punch, it encourages you to mingle around the bowl. It sparks conversation. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just the ideas of it, I just love, and I wish I could do more punches, but just me, and I can't drink a whole bowl. No. But I love that idea. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of punch as a more common drink that a bunch of people, i.e. us,
yes.
get together and wax philosophical as you get slowly a little bit sozzled. The other thing with a cold punch is that if you put the big hunk of ice in it, which of course came along later because that was another luxury item, but it gets watered down as well. And so by the end, ideally, you're not completely wrecked. Now you're just drinking fruit water with a little bit of booze.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not the way I do it, but but no, you're right. And that's, you know, it's the same reason we have drinking a lot of cocktails too, a lot of the tiki drinks that start off strong, but they... you know, the taste changes as you drink it. The flavor profile changes because you go from really super boozy, and as the ice melts, you get less of the booze and a little bit more of the taste. Sort of like you get when you put a little water into your whiskey to bring out the flavors. So, you know, missing out ice on a drink that calls for it sometimes is a mistake because the ice actually helps you appreciate the flavor a little bit more. And thank you
very much.
That's.
That's why he's real popular on Instagram.
Exactly.
That's it.
Everybody knows.
If that had been a video clip,
that
would have been it.
Oh,
that
would have been viral.
Viral. Exactly.
But
we always said Fred Partridge was viral.
We thought more in the plague sense.
Not really. Contagious is actually how it was phrased. But,
that's right. Yeah. He had infectious laughter.
I really should floss more.
Like Typhoid Mary. She had infectious laughter.
That was good. Well, I finished mine.
Of course, you did.
That was good. That was, and what's nice, it's not because it does have that old taste, right? I mean, it's not like a modern. It's not like a Crantini.
Yeah. No. It's a mug of 1848.
Yeah. No, exactly. So it's kids won't like it. I'll tell you right now. I don't think a kid would like it. This is a grown up drink.
Mm. So you kids, you get off to bed now, or Santa's coming.
You won't get nothing.
Mom and
Dad. No smoking bishop for you.
That's right. bishopless.
Mm. And that's something else. Mm. It makes me want to do a different punch this year. Oh. But I won't.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that these two things were so successful. Yeah. And like I say, now if you've imagine you're hosting your Christmas event, as I say, you put in this little extra bit of work to begin with, and now you're just relaxing. Your big plastic jug eggnog, you're just filling people's glasses.
Look.
Left, right, and center.
Yeah, no, the nog was good. And this is, I like that. Yeah, I mean, it is literally, it's 1848. So if you want to get a taste for the flavor...
You see what it's done to Fred already.
Exactly.
A taste of the flavor profile from, you know, 150 plus years ago. That's a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm. How Charles Dickens managed to get anything written.
I don't know. I've been drinking this all day.
Yeah. Wow. He wasn't old when he died, right? He was 52 or something? He's only in his
50s. Well, nobody lived that long back in the 19th century.
Long time. True enough.
But probably they're drinking too much.
They weren't working that hard, apparently. So no.
That's right. They had hours to spend over a bowl of hot.
That's right. You got married when you're 16. So, I mean, you got on with things. You didn't waste your time. But, thank you. Thank you for that, Jason. Taking that all on your own.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure.
Yeah.
For you, my TV family, nothing's too good.
Nope.
All right, then.
Well, I guess that's it for our Christmas episode and our first one.
We have
a few more.
I mean, I guess we should have had, song trivia? A visit from St. Nicholas?
How about a quote?
Have you got one?
Oh, yeah. I've got a
quote. Is it from Santa Claus?
No, it's not. It's two people, Death and Albert. And it's a bit of dialogue. It's not so much a quote, it's more of a dialogue. And it's from Terry Pratchett, British writer. Mm-hmm. And it goes, Death says... There are better things in the world than alcohol, Albert. Albert. Oh, yes, sir. But alcohol sort of compensates for not getting them. Oh, Cherry. There you go.
Well, which book is that from? Do we know?
I don't know.
Because I've only read one Terry Pratchett book, and it might have been that one.
Oh, well, then you should tell us. You would probably know better.
I don't know.
But
Mort? It might be from Mort.
No idea.
Death takes on an apprentice, and it's a guy.
Oh. It's not a very good quote for Christmas. I just realized, I shouldn't have really brought death in. Well, how about another quote? Here's something a little bit funnier.
Is it festive?
It's somewhat. It's actually a poem.
Okay.
I love poems.
Yep. It's from the author of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yes.
J.R.R. Tolkien?
Sure.
Let's go with that. And here it is. Ho, ho, ho. To the bottle I go, to heal my heart and drown my woe. Rain may fall and wind may blow, and many miles be still to go, but under a tall tree will I lie, and let the clouds go sailing by. The end. One of his shortest works.
Yes.
Yeah. He's just starting out. I think,
ironically enough, it's being turned into a trilogy.
Oh, excellent.
Peter Jackson
has turned that. Yep. Three parts.
Yep. Three hours each.
3 hours each, coming soon.
Mm-hmm. So there.
Ho, ho, ho to the bottle I go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got to take away from that.
Yep. That's what I'm taking away from it.
That's a little more Christmassy.
It is.
We got the ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, the ho, ho, ho in it. It implies that Santa's a drunk.
Yep.
You'll find him underneath a tree in your front yard.
Anything else we have to add here?
I don't know. I feel like we have to do a whole bunch of other stuff, but all it would be to wish you and yours a Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays, a Season's Greetings.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yes, and all the...
And all the rest.
What Fred said.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if anybody gets a little bit too high and mighty, pull out a smoking bishop and say, you know what the story is behind this little beverage? Auntie Marge.
That's right.
And you can get the recipe at gentlemenofelegantleisure.com.
Yes, indeed.
Yep.
And you can see photos of the whole experience at Cocktail Podcast.
On Instagram.
Hashtag Cocktail Podcast.
Wow.
Yeah,
sure.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Right now?
Well, sure.
Probably.
By the time you're listening to this?
Well, if the world hasn't ended, yes.
Fred will be on tour with Lionel Richie and Mariah Carey. So there you go.
I was saving that for the next show.
I know, but My New Year's resolution last year was to ruin all of your future announcements. So I'm just getting started now.
No.
Well, thanks for sticking with it.
But if people were out are out on, you know, during the holidays and
as they should be.
And they go to a bar.
Right.
And of course it's the, you know, it's a seasonal time to share and
the season of giving.
The season of giving. And so what do all gentlemen of elegant leisure do?
Well, when a gentleman of elegant leisure is out partaking of a wassail bowl or whatever. No, they probably wouldn't do that for a wassail
bowl. Or a nice craft cocktail.
A nice craft cocktail at one of your local establishments. Please be kind to all of your servers and waitstaff and bartenders and all the wonderful people that make your elegant life worth living. Be very kind to them. And even if it's your last dime,
tip big.